This is Fresh Air. Coming up, I'll talk with filmmaker Charles Burnett about his new movie, To Sleep With Anger. Soul singer Curtis Mayfield was beginning an American comeback tour over the summer when stage lights fell on him and left him paralyzed from the neck down. Last week, rock and roll historian Ed Ward began his two-part tribute to Mayfield. Ed says that back in the early 60s, Columbia Records knew if it wanted any part of the growing black record market, they needed to stockpile talent to fight off Motown's big edge.
To counter Motown, Columbia Records looked to Chicago and revived an old name, OK. They put Carl Davis, a savvy producer who'd hit with Gene Chandler's Duke of Earl, in charge. Davis then went out and hired songwriter Curtis Mayfield and a jazz bassist named Johnny Pate to produce and arrange for OK. Mayfield was still having success with his own group, The Impressions, but he was writing more songs than they could use, and anyway, he had a battle plan for them. OK's first artist was Major Lance, an ex-boxer whose first OK record, Delilah, had hardly made a dent. Johnny Pate stepped in to arrange the second one, and voila, a hit.
There's a place right across town, whenever you're ready. Well, people
The Monkey Time was a top 10 pop smash, and it put OK square on the map. Following Motown's example, OK concentrated on a small number of talented artists. Mayfield had started singing with Jerry Butler and knew that Jerry's brother Billy had a group, Billy Butler and the Enchanters. And he also found great new voices out there, too, like Walter Jackson.
Mama said.
But there was a problem with Jackson. He'd had polio as a child, and he performed on crutches, something that was unlikely to be a hit with teenagers. OK had a problem, too. This was still the era of regional hits, and OK had no trouble coming up with them, but they remained regional. The vast majority of the superb work Mayfield, Pate, and Davis were doing remained a Midwestern phenomenon. Curtis Mayfield knew that, thanks to their reputation, there was no such problem with The Impressions, and furthermore, he was writing songs for them that reflected his most personal concerns, concerns that were making headlines in 1964, but weren't making the charts.
Keep on pushing, I've got to keep on pushing, I can't stop now. Cause I've got my strength, and it don't make sense not to keep on pushing.
Without being overtly influenced by Bob Dylan, like so many other performers, black and white, at this time, Curtis Mayfield began to provide a soundtrack for the civil rights movement that drew from the same sources that Martin Luther King's did, the church. First with Keep On Pushin', then with Amen, and then with this masterpiece, The Impressions delivered something nobody else did.
People get ready,
there's a train a-coming.
You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the dealers honing. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord.
By 1966, it was becoming evident that OK wasn't going to do as much for him as he could do for himself, so Curtis Mayfield put all of the energy that he wasn't using for The Impressions into his own label, Windy Sea. It was a disaster. Undaunted, he formed Mayfield Records and watched it, too, fall apart. he could still summon up optimism for the Impressions, and in 1968, he delivered his last great social consciousness song, We're a Winner.
We're a winner, and never let anybody say, well, you can't make it, cause some people minds in your way. No more tears do we cry, and we have finally dried our eyes, and we're moving on up, moving on up, Lord have mercy, we're moving on up.
It would be his last hurrah for a while. In 1970, Curtis quit the Impressions to concentrate on a solo career and his Kurtom production company. His music was getting eccentric, featuring guitar and congas and little else. Still, in 1972, Mayfield showed he had what it took by scoring two top 10 hits from the score he'd written for the film Superfly.
There's a set going strong, a lot of things going on. The man of the hour has an air of great power. The dudes have envied him for so long. Oh, Superfly, you're gonna make your fortune by and by. But if you lose, don't ask no questions why. The only game you know is do or die.
But that was it. Curtis had gotten too weird for American taste, although he continued to record, and some of what he recorded was quite good. His recent accident that's left him paralyzed has brought him back to the spotlight, so I suppose some reassessment of his work will finally come to pass. I hope so. This has only skimmed the surface of the contributions of Curtis Mayfield.
Ed Ward is co-author of Rock of Ages, The Rolling Stone History of Rock and Roll, and he writes for the Austin Chronicle. This is Fresh Air.